So the second case that we had was a 74-year-old man who presented with painless jaundice, and the workup showed a pancreatic adenocarcinoma, and the thinking was that the patient might be resectable if there were tumor shrinkage, was thought not to be resectable at that point. Actually, the patient had biliary stenting, bilirubin returned to normal, and the question we asked was, what neoadjuvant regimen would you most likely utilize? And it was interesting because the audience, although a little bit more FOLFIRINOX, almost the same number said NAB, paclitaxel, gem. And also in our faculty, we had actually four people, including you, saying FOLFIRINOX, but a couple people also saying NAB, gem. How do you think through this issue of this clinical situation where you need to try to get tumor shrinkage?
Well, you know, we have a tough enough time curing patients who don't have vascular involvement with this disease. I think when we look at these patients who are considered borderline resectable, these are patients who could be resected, but if they go to resection directly, are at very high risk of having a margin positive resection. And at that point, it becomes very difficult to cure those folks. So really the idea here is to try to get tumor off the vessels so that there can be a margin negative resection. How to do this at this point is still really undefined, and there aren't any randomized data sets. So, you know, if people have a preference of one regimen over another, that's okay, because none of these things have been compared head to head. I think it's a little bit akin to the situation in colon cancer where we need a response to get someone to surgery. I tend to pick the thing that I think has the highest response rate. And you know, again, comparing across trials, that would appear to be FOLFIRINOX. If I think someone can tolerate it, that is likely to be my choice.
We talked about the issue of choice of neoadjuvant therapy, and also the same two regimens, NAB-GEM and FOLFIRINOX, are brought up in terms of choice of first-line therapy. And we know there's, you know, generally the older the patient is, the more likely they are to get NAB-GEM. But can you review that first-line therapy decision and whether any data has come out over the past year or so that sort of changes that equation at all?
I think I keep getting pushed more and more towards FOLFIRINOX, especially by series of patients with, say, borderline resectable disease who have gotten FOLFIRINOX. We went through our patients who had surgery, who initially had borderline resectable disease, and a few of them actually had pathologic complete responses, and most of those patients had been treated with FOLFIRINOX. So there aren't, again, any head-to-head studies that would tell us definitively which is better, but some of these series that have come out have sort of continued to sway me towards FOLFIRINOX for a patient I think can tolerate it. Now, that said, we see good responses with GEM, nab-paclitaxel. I think it's a perfectly good regimen. And, you know, this is a situation where we're not going to cure patients and we need to have a serious discussion with them about quality of life versus quantity. And it may be for some patients that that math would lean them strongly towards the GEM-NAB-paclitaxel combination rather than the somewhat more difficult FOLFIRINOX.
Is there an age at which you start pulling away from FOLFIRINOX?
Not a numerical age. I mean, I think we all look at people, look at what other problems they have, gauge what we think their sort of fitness is in addition to age. I have to say, I don't think I've treated anyone above 80 with FOLFIRINOX. So, but below 80, I really think I see some patients who are quite fit and sturdy who have tolerated FOLFIRINOX well. So I don't really put an age cutoff below that on patients.